Good morning, and welcome into another edition of The Beacon. Jurek here.
Lainey Kleeman here.
And how are you?
I'm good.
Are you ready for the Halloween weekend?
I'm as ready as no. Not even close.
Let me tell you, you live in a complex, right?
I do.
You won't get many.
I don't. I'm more concerned about getting my kids situated, but I think they are. I think the dads have taken care. I think the dads have stepped up to the plate this year.
Good.
So I know my daughter, I have to get her. She's being Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad. Is that right? Suicide Squad?
I guess so.
Marvel Comics? I don't even know. Anyway, it's like the most popular Halloween costume.
Oh,
is
it?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Good,
so she's
her.
Harley Quinn. I have to get her makeup and her hair dye and all that.
Aww.
But aside from that, I think we're ready.
And how about Shorty?
He's being a minion from the Despicable Me. He loves the minion. He just loves the minions.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
I know. Jessica is a minion.
There's no accounting for taste.
No, yeah. I know.
That's all right.
I miss the days when I could just put him in whatever I wanted and he didn't have an opinion about it.
That's right. Yeah, but not anymore.
Those days are long gone.
No, that's right. Exactly.
So.
Last week I had that soapbox about the retirement homes.
Right.
You know, I listen to the radio, a distant stations on the thing called, what's it called? I forget now. It's Victor Stream.
Okay.
And they run commercial. Well, I've heard of them on a few other stations too. You know, if I ever meet that guy that ends up the commercials by giving the phone number, he must give that number at least 16 times. I'm going to rip out his larynx and throw it in Lake Michigan.
What is the Victor Stream? I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
It's a thing that we can capture books on and listen to books and radio and everything else.
Why is he... what's the problem?
It comes through the advertising agency that handles a lot of internet stuff.
Okay.
But they say, like, don't forget, call 800-800-4000.
It's just the repetitiveness.
And he's got the most obnoxious voice.
You know, there's a lot of radio commercials that come on that when I'm listening in the car, I'll change the station because I just find them so...
Annoying
and aggravating. And, you know, and there's a lot of local businesses that seem to think that they can do in-house media writing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just awesome. It's like, you know what? Pay somebody to do this.
McGee.
It's not working. And how about those Cubs? We're here in Chicago. We can't go without mentioning the Cubs.
Yeah, well, they played last night, and since we're recording the show.
Yeah, so we don't know.
We don't know what
As of
did.
This point, the series is tied 1-1.
So Indians won. They
played their second series, second game last night. They won, and this is where we are. So
they're coming back to frigid Wrigley Field.
They are. So in the spirit of being supportive of Chicago, since that is where we're based after all, you know, we need to give a shout-out to the Cubs. So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll know next week.
And you know what? I am a Chicago fan.
Yeah. A White Sox or Cubs?
Just White Sox. I like White Sox because of all the years I worked at NBC.
Right.
And it was the flagship station.
Yes.
So I'm kind of, my boys and everybody are kind of leaning toward the White Sox.
The White Sox, right.
But you know what? Like my son Joe says, it's all Chicago.
It's Chicago.
So long as they win.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's where we're at. And since we've got nothing else going for us in terms of sports right now, we should jump on the Cubs bandwagon.
I think so.
The Bears are lousy. The Blackhawks.
Oh, please. Did you expect any more from the Bears?
No, but they're just Cutler. I know. He's a local boy, so I don't want to say too much, but...
He's not a local boy. They were glad to see him leave Denver.
Well, no, he's local to us right now. I mean, he's playing on our local football team.
Can I say one thing? That's right.
So anyway, yes. So go Cubs.
And the bad news is...
What?
This is our second to the last show. We're not going to be on WCPT anymore.
It's our third to the last show on WCPT.
On WCPT,
yes.
Yeah.
We're going to be internet-based only, from my understanding.
On Chris Radio,
yes.
Right? So those of you who listen to us on regular terrestrial radio, you're going to be as they, well, I won't say that term, but you're going to be out of luck.
Yeah.
Because we're not renewing, and matter of fact, I think we're cutting the contract early and everything.
And it's against our wishes.
It's against
we
our
We should let you know that
we don't want it.
We don't want it.
It's not part of. I worked 8 years to get this.
Yes.
To where it is, and to have it taken away when we were starting to build an audience.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
We
it's
were actually
very
getting
political.
People to call us.
Yeah.
About being guests on the show.
That's,
so,
yeah, I know.
You know it's not going to happen on the internet. I'm sorry.
No.
I see a 45% decrease in audience.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. It's disappointing to say the least. But we're with you for 3 more weeks, and then we're not going anywhere. We're still here. You just have to listen
to
us online now.
Yeah.
And we'll give you all that information when we get closer to it.
So what are we doing?
Well, today we are talking with Sandy... Sandy Marilla.
You've been away too long.
I know.
Sarsaparilla.
Sandy Marilla.
Oh, okay.
You've been away too long.
Well, I think so, yeah.
She's going to be chatting with Olivia Moore from the University of Michigan.
Along with me.
Along with you, yes. Yeah. You will be there as well, won't you? And they're going to be talking about her new book, which offers suggestions on how servers at restaurants and other eateries can better accommodate people who are visually impaired.
Right, exactly.
That's nice, isn't it? I really like that.
It's about time, like a human interest story. That's what I told Olivia, too.
And you know what? We need more human interest stories on this station.
Well, we'll be getting it.
Yeah, I like human interest. And then Brett Shishkoff, our intern and man of the hour, if I do say so myself.
Uh-huh.
He does a review on the Landmark Auditorium Theater.
Right.
Boy, I envy his job. He gets to do all kinds of
cool things.
Yeah, he
but at
really
night.
Does. Yeah, it's true. I'm a little landlocked at night. And then I'll be back with our Let Us Turn Up the Beat segment, and I will be, we're kind of in the final stretch of Thanksgiving here these next 3 weeks, so I'm going to be giving you some tips on how to have a healthy Thanksgiving from here on out.
Turkey?
No tofurkey this year. No, I told you last year my mom bought me one as a joke. Yeah. Yeah. No, she did it as a joke, and bless her heart. She's very mindful of my eating habits, but it was not good, so I will not be advising anybody to purchase a tofurkey.
But thank
year.
God she's in California.
That's what she knows. She knows.
And then, of course.
And then we will close out the show with Tom's Corner.
That's it.
Yep.
So we should get started.
Sounds great.
I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And we'll be back with
Sandy Marilla.
And this wonderful book about servers and how people who are in the service industry can be more helpful to blind people.
Okay. So just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay. Then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
You know, I'm going to use a line that old Andy Rooney used to use. Did you ever walk into a restaurant, being a blind person, and get your ears blown away because the server thinks, A, you can't hear, or you're with someone, and they talk to them instead of to you when it comes time to order your meal? Well, that, I think, has happened to many, many of us. I know it's happened to me. And until it happened to me, I said, they don't do that. They do that. Believe me. Sandra Marillo, who is the associate producer of our program, is joining us. And our guest of honor is Olivia Moore, who is a student at the University of Michigan. And welcome.
Thank you.
Both
Thank
of you.
Bill.
So tell me a little bit about how long you have been thinking about this as a project. We'll get into it a little more.
I've been thinking about it for about 4 years since I got to college.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously something that's close to my heart with my godfather being blind. I guess I've just been exposed to it since a young age. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've grown up with a better understanding than most people.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you, unlike me, I lost my vision later in life. Mm-hmm. Sandra, tell us your story again. You lost it when?
Yeah. So I lost my vision when I was about 2 years old from glaucoma. So it's, you know, basically this is all I know, you know.
The world of blindness.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Now, the project is an interesting one because it ties in with how I did the introduction here. You know, I think it's the uneducatedness of the waiters and waitresses in restaurants that cause a problem. Did you notice any restaurants that, you know, as far as caliber of restaurants, and I'm talking about from Denny's all the way on up to Ruth Chris and restaurants mm-hmm. like that. Have you noticed a difference in the wait staff?
I think that the wait staff in, like, smaller diners are more sympathetic. We've been going to a specific diner for breakfast on Saturdays sure. for the past, like, 10 years, and we always have the same waitress, and she knows exactly what to do.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, and now what, Sandra, do you see as some of the obstacles that we face as blind people?
Well, that's a good point you brought up earlier about the restaurants, the, you know, caliber of restaurants, because obstacles, I honestly have seen them in all restaurants, from small diners to larger chain restaurants. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest ones is people either not talking to me directly, you know, not asking right. me specifically what I want, or people talking to me, you know, as if I were a child or as if I were deaf, you know, sure. yelling at me.
Yep.
I think that's a big thing. That's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, obstacle.
How about have you run into where they said, oh, we'll cut up your food for you?
You know, I haven't had that. Not that I recall anyway.
Yeah.
But I have had, you know, some friends who, like, the waiter has asked them, yeah, do you need any assistance eating, or do you, like, want us to cut up the food?
Right.
I guess to a certain extent, I can understand if they ask them, you know, if they needed, you know,
right.
to assistance cutting their food or something. But as far as, like, eating, you know,
That's your own thing.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you want to drip all over yourself, that's our business. You
know? like anyone else, blinder-sighted.
Yeah, absolutely, blinder-sighted, yeah. You know, that's the thing. It's funny, though, a blind guy can always find a drink.
Always.
On the bar. You don't have to tell him twice. He goes right to it, you know. That's basically, it's a gift. It comes with a gift of smell, you know. When did you talk to any of the waiters or waitresses about what we're discussing here today?
Yeah, when I talk to them, they just say, no, we've never, you know, it only happens once in a blue moon. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen that often.
Right.
But when it does, they say most of the time they get pretty uncomfortable just because they don't want to offend anyone, and they just don't want to do something that would offend someone.
Sure. Do you know, I'm going to tell you, mm-hmm. not only is what you're talking about very prevalent in the restaurant industry, but believe it or not, it's also prevalent in the health industry.
Yes, mm-hmm. very much.
You'll notice it in the health industry where the nurses don't know how to offer their elbow to you. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to, again, the awkwardness.
Right, right.
You know, because they don't see people with a vision impairment that often. Mm-hmm. Unless you go
we're
into an
strangers to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're like from another planet. You know, and the way things are going, I'd sooner be from another planet these days. But anyway, that's beside the point. So what do you hope to achieve with the book? How's the book going to be formatted?
So it'll be an 8.5 by 8.5 manual. I'm not sure the format, like if it's going to be a binder or spiral bound.
Right.
But it'll have, you know, from the moment you walk in the door to if you have to wait in the waiting area, how, like, someone would navigate you to a bench sure. or a chair to help signing your check and guiding you out of the door. So everything between those two points.
Okay. What do you what are you looking for as far as the waiters and waitresses when they get to the table?
I would just say, you know, I want to create more of an independence, so someone can feel comfortable going to the restaurant on their own.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, helping them read the menu, because obviously I know not everyone reads Braille.
Yeah.
So helping read menus and, you know, making sure they to announce themselves when they come to the table, to tell you where they put something on the table so you don't accidentally knock it over and those kinds of things.
Right, exactly. Yep. And, you know, sometimes the people who are you're with in the party of your family, your friends or whatever, they're worse than the waiters and waitresses because they bring water and they move it around on you.
Yeah.
When you think
all the time.
Yeah, when you think you know where it's at, they go ahead and they move it. Sandra, are you a Braille reader?
I am.
You are?
And I've been to, like, larger chain restaurants. I went once to Red Lobster, and they actually
had a menu.
Yeah, and the waiter, the waitress actually, you know, saw me come up with my cane, and she offered me the Braille menu, and believe it or not, it was actually up to date, because that's another big thing, you know, like the menus might be outdated.
Right.
You know, they don't take the time to update them either because, you know, staff doesn't even know that they're there.
Right.
Or, you know, they just don't.
I wonder if those were, because you've been around, you said, to different restaurants. I wonder if, because I haven't seen them lately, I've never seen a Braille menu, as a matter of fact. I wonder if they do have conventional printing on them as well as the Braille.
I think a few of them, because I have seen, you know, obviously I've seen several Braille menus.
Right.
And they do have, like, some print pages in front, so I'm assuming that's either large print or, you know, conventional print.
And usually, though, when they have the specials, you know, of the weekend or the day, they'll tell you that, as opposed to making it part of the menu and that.
Yep.
Now, who would be your target audience for getting this into the hands of the right people?
I was going to try to work with a single restaurant in Ann Arbor to implement what I end up making, and then kind of go from there, and hopefully other restaurants would follow suit.
Now, is it going to be a tactile menu? And by that, what I mean is, if there is, there's going to be Braille on it. Sandra, how do you feel about if there's a line of Braille and then a line of raised conventional letters? You know, where, like on the elevators here,
that'd
you know,
be interesting.
Because, you know, there are people later in life that they have a very difficult time in learning Braille. And I know enough to be dangerous. But some people prefer to have the raised letters. You'll see on the elevator, if you go down in the elevator here, that there is a Braille marking. And then there's the conventional Roman
raised,
numeral in that we're used to seeing. That's a possibility that you could do too.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, are you going to do pictures in this Braille menu or not really?
Or is it more intended to waiting staff?
Yeah,
it's more intended to the actual wait staff.
Yes. Okay.
So what I was thinking would, you know, one page for the wait staff be like, you know, rules and guidelines, like how to guide someone to the table, and then on the next page have some kind of illustration, depicting it.
Sure. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a very good idea.
That's really a good idea.
Yeah.
What else have you run into in restaurants?
A big thing, like in the end, once, you know, we're done eating and the check, you know, it's they'll hand it to you. Usually when I go out to eat, I'm with someone else, so I can, you know, and obviously I trust the person that will read it to me. But, you know, in the times that I'm on my own or with another blind friend or something, you know, we need someone to, you know, tell us what the amount is.
It's funny you mention that because this past Thursday I went out to lunch with my dad and my godfather, and my godfather was going to pay, and our waitress knew he was blind, and she said, oh, he handed her his credit card.
Yeah.
Once she came to the table with the check, and she goes, "Oh, well, do you want to know how much it is?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "That's the first time in my years of being blind that someone has ever asked me if I wanted to know the total of the bill."
Sure.
No, and I have, at least not to my, I don't recall being asked, you know, not once by a waitress, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Waitress.
I'm bold, because if I'm, you know, out with, let's say, just a couple of people and I'm buying dinner, I'll have the card out and I'll say, "Could you tell me what the total is?"
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not afraid to do that.
No, and that's really the best way. I mean, just to ask, you know, the other person, or if you, you know, you're on your own, ask the waiter or waitress.
Would this be a book that would be appropriate to colleges, universities, and specialty schools that, you know, cater to food? Would this be appropriate for them to include as part of their curriculum?
I think it could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Definitely.
You can tie that in with like a blind dinner, you know, where everything is dining in the dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then give the proceeds to something like Chris Radio here, you know, at the Lighthouse. I'm being very very assertive about this.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you give it to a blind organization.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And they could, you know, they could benefit from the donation and that. When do you expect to have the book completed?
Completed probably, I would say, by the end of March.
By the end of March?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to run it through a couple of restaurants and see what they think?
Yeah, I think my professor knows the owner of Zingerman's in Ann Arbor.
And that is, what kind of restaurant?
It is like a deli restaurant.
Oh, ooh, right up my alley.
Yeah. So he is good friends with him, so he was going to put us, connect us together and see what we could do.
Good,
we could do something like that.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. But there are things in there like... that you should ask is questions, and one of them is, would you like me to read the menu
mm-hmm,
for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like we said, not everybody reads Braille.
Not everybody reads Braille. Would you, you know, obviously they'll tell you the specials when they come up to mm-hmm. the table. But, it, you know, if there's anything else that they happen to need that might be on the menu or just as part of a service that the restaurant provides, they should, you know, offer those options to the person who's visually impaired or blind. Because, you see, there's a lot of people that travel with a white cane
mm-hmm.
that they have partial vision.
Right.
I mean, and they mm-hmm. have, you know, they're low vision, obviously, but they still can see enough
mm-hmm.
where they, you know, will be able to see other tables, you know, that they won't see faces and things like that, but they'll at least know the atmosphere that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know one restaurant chain here that's big on that is Let Us Entertain You.
Mm-hmm.
All of their restaurants, and they're pretty high-end restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, they have Wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a fantastic steakhouse. Probably the best, but go to the one on Erie. let's see. There's, oh, God, that's the one I frequent the most. There's one like a supper club up north in Lincolnshire, Lincolnwood, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And see, somebody like that would be, I'm sure a restaurant chain like that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is something that you can teach.
Exactly.
You know, where you could go out and form your own little business and go out to the restaurants and get
mm-hmm.
everybody together
mm-hmm.
and, you know, have at it. You know what else you should consider, too?
Mm-hmm.
On an airplane.
Yeah.
Airplane or train.
Right.
Because they serve food differently.
They do.
They sure do.
They serve food differently. You know, the airlines that still do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fly first class, they always give you a meal.
Right.
And it's a pretty decent meal too. And that's the one that those are the ones that maybe should be asked if they need their food cut, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that. Would you like us to assist you on that?
Or a good point about assistance. Telling us what's what. You know, because often.
Right.
When I'm on the airplane and I get, you know, my meal or a snack or whatever, the flight attendant just places it in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I might not, you know, back in the day when they served meals to those of us who don't fly on first class.
Right.
I remember the
rub it in. Go ahead.
Flight attendants, the attendant would, you know, just put the tray in front of me and I would have no clue, you know, what the sandwich was or what, you know,
or what the main chips. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Like I flew to Ireland and there were two meals and a snack.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what they were serving me, you know, because they never said anything.
Right.
But, you know, once I got into it, I liked it.
Right.
But the point is, you know, you gotta let the blind person or the visually impaired person know what's going on.
Exactly.
And I'm sure likewise it's the same on the train, because I haven't taken a train lately, but I'm sure they do the same thing.
I'm sure.
They still have dining cars on a train?
I haven't been in one in a few years?
Yeah. All right, well, me neither. I never have either. Well, it sounds quite interesting. Do you want to check back with us in March?
Yeah,
of course. Let us know what kind of results you're hearing from the restaurants and that. And I'm really quite interested to see what the restaurants are going to have to say about it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So, Olivia Moore, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. And Sandra Murillo, you are always welcome.
Of course, Bill.
She always is. I should tell you a little story about Sandra.
But
we'll do that off the air. The show's The Beacon. I'm Bill Jurek. Thanks, ladies, for being with us. We'll be back with more after this.
1 in 6 of the wounded U.S. soldiers evacuated from Iraq and Afghanistan battle zones suffered eye injuries. That's the highest rate of eye injuries since the Civil War. The National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, NLS, part of the Library of Congress, is stepping up to help. NLS works with military hospitals, rehab centers, and groups such as the Blinded Veterans Association to make sure that service members who have sacrificed so much for their country can still experience the pleasures of reading. Through the free NLS Talking Book Program, eligible veterans have access to thousands of bestsellers, biographies, westerns, self-help books, and more, and a variety of magazines. Veterans receive priority service from NLS, but any U.S. resident who is blind, has low vision, or cannot hold a book because of a physical illness or disability may sign up for the program. To learn more about what NLS can do for you or a friend or loved one, visit www.loc.gov/NLS or call 1-888-NLS-READ.
See? So did you learn something?
I did.
Yeah, but you knew already.
I did.
You're such a brilliant woman.
I'm not brilliant. I'm just mindful of people, you know?
And yeah, I think common sense.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And I'm very, very sensitive to being nice and putting goodness in the world and just kind of knowing that even if I don't know, having, you know, iota of compassion and common sense goes a long way.
Right.
So, anyway.
And then we have to once again remind you that the 12th of November will be our last program on WCPT.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you'd like to voice your opinion or whatever, give me a call at the station.
Yeah, maybe voices will you know, make a difference.
Well, I've been in this business for a long time.
Yeah.
And I know how that goes.
Yeah.
So, but I encourage people to call if they, you know, if they enjoy the program and would like to see it stay on. Also, you can get the Beacon on Chris Radio on Wednesday nights at 7, ACB Radio on Tuesdays, and that's about it now.
And we'll still be on both of those and the podcast.
Right.
So. Oh, wait, the Wednesday nights, though, we won't, right? Wednesday night
we're going to still be
CPT.
On Wednesday night. No, on Wednesday is on Chris.
Oh, Wednesday is on Chris.
Yep.
So. Okay. All right.
All right, so now, what are we doing?
Oh, see, now we're talking to Brett Shishkoff, who went and visited the Landmark Auditorium Theater, and he's going to give us the 411.
The more acoustically correct auditorium theater. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
You could sit anywhere in that that auditorium, and you'll have a perfect sound.
Wow.
That's how good it is.
Hello there, everybody. This is Brett Shishkoff. I have another What's Around Town review for you. I go around and talk about the accessibility options that I've been able to find at the theaters and museums and whatever else comes my way. And today I have a review. I was able to go out to the Auditorium Theater. I was able to see a show there, Cole Porter. They had a concert kind of for his birthday, and so I was able to enjoy that about a month and a half ago, I would say. I would say as of how accessible it is for people who have, like, wheelchairs, they have an accessible entrance. They do have elevators that can take you up stairs if need be. The upper level is a little bit more difficult to navigate around, I would say. So hopefully, if you do get some tickets, they might be able to work something out with you if you do have like a wheelchair, to be able to get your tickets in down the downstairs level, because they have ramps that go on the sides of the seats. The center aisles tend to have steps, so that is a big thing to kind of just recommend. If you are wheelchair accessible, just let them know ahead of time when you are trying to get tickets. They are developing some programs to try and become a little bit more accessible right now. They really, like I said, are just in the developmental stage of it. I was able to take their architectural tour and history of the auditorium theater, which was very, very cool experience. Lots of history in this place. It's one of the oldest buildings in Chicago still around. I believe it was 1880s was when it was built. So it's seen a lot. It's had quite a few great concerts there, and Janis Joplin's been there. Smashing Pumpkins has been there most recently. They also are known for having the Joffrey Ballet. So if you're a person who enjoys being able to watch the ballet, this would be the place to do it. It's got a very big, huge stage. So a lot of dancers really love this stage. Some of the things you'll actually get to view there, other than the ballet, like I said, they have music concerts. They'll also do some dancing. Maybe it's a combination of the two. They also rent it out for, just different events that maybe a company would want to rent it out, or weddings. They've had weddings there as well. So it's the tour. I'll just kind of give you a little rundown of what the tour is like. So you kind of start off at the first level. They take you in through the lobby, give you some history of when it was built and how it was built, what they were trying to get across. And it was built to become an opera house. Basically, the opera was coming to New York and going to L.A., but we didn't have anything really here for the opera. And so they decided that this would be the venue for that, until they ended up eventually building the Civic Opera House. It started off as one thing, and then it's kind of gone through a few different transitions throughout the years. When it ran out of some funding, when they were in the 1920s, it ended up becoming a place for military to kind of hang out, and they turned it into a bowling alley, among other things at this point in time. I think it was around World War I, I want to say. It's one of the favorite places for Rahm Emanuel. He goes there. He loves the ballet. He actually, I guess, used to be into ballet. He used to be a dancer himself. So that was kind of interesting to see. Or hear about. It does have multiple levels. Like I said, it's a little difficult to, if you are wanting to get into like the seats on the upper level that they have. They still have the old style seats that they originally had when it was first built up there. So if you can do stairs, you should be fine with the tour and any show. If you have difficulty with stairs, then like I said, the recommendation is to kind of see if you can find some seats down in the first level, would be the easiest way for you to go. Once again, this is Brett Shishkoff, and this was a field report review of the Auditorium Theater. I hope to see you guys out and about, and I will see you next time.
Disability is something most people don't like to think about, but a 35-year-old man has a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled during his working lifetime. A woman of the same age has a 1 in 4 chance. If you become disabled and are unable to work, you may apply for Social Security disability benefits. There are two ways you can apply. The fastest and most convenient way is online at www.socialsecurity.gov. Or you may call 1-800-772-1213 to make an appointment to apply at your local Social Security office, or to set up an appointment for someone to take your application over the phone. Learn more about disability benefits and take advantage of the Helpful Disability Starter Kit at www.socialsecurity.gov/disability. That's www.socialsecurity.gov/disability.
We're back again, and this time, you know, fall is, we're in that transition time.
Yes.
Between fall and winter and getting ready for the snow and the and all of the holidays and everything else.
We are.
So we're going to turn up the beat this time, and you are going to have a special recipe?
Well, we're heading into Thanksgiving here. So from now until Thanksgiving, every week, I'm going to be giving a couple of tips on how you can make your Thanksgiving a little bit more healthy and lively, and people won't even notice.
Ouch. Okay.
All right.
I'm up for it.
All right, let's do this. So for tip number one, if you make a super rich, extra flavorful poultry stock, now, again, if you're a vegetarian, then this obviously you can just add some more veggies to it. But for this particular suggestion, they're saying make an extra rich stock, basically make a basic chicken stock, add the turkey neck that comes from the turkey to the bones. When it's done, simmer it on the stove until it's reduced by half. So that condenses flavor.
Yeah.
It condenses the flavor of the stock, and then the finish, you can add that to stuffing, you can add that to mashed potatoes, you can add that as you can add that to baste your turkey so that you have this very, very rich, condensed stock, but it doesn't have a lot of extra salt. It doesn't have a lot of extra additives to it. It's just the the innards from your turkey, chicken stock, and then the veggies that you add
May
to
I
it.
May I say one thing?
Yeah.
Oh, just one thing.
One thing.
Stuffing.
I know. So good.
The best part of Thanksgiving.
It is. It is. And it's almost here. It's coming around the corner.
It's faster than we think.
I know. Tip number two, slow roast your sweet potatoes so that they're maximally sweet without any added sugar. So when you actually roast them, it sort of caramelizes them, which makes them sweeter. And so you don't have to add a lot to them. So to do this, you cut 3 pounds of sweet potatoes, toss it with a little olive oil, salt, and pepper. Spread them out in a single row, roast in a 325-degree oven until it's brown, so about 40 minutes, and then flip the sweet potatoes and roast again another 40 minutes or so. So that
should you take the peel off?
It doesn't say. It just says to cut them. This picture does look like they're peeled.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a preference. I know a lot of people do like to leave the peels on, so if you prefer to leave them on, by all means do so.
But scrub the hell out of them.
Scrub the hell out of them, yeah. But, you know, it caramelizes them. It brings the sugars to the surface, and so they're much, much sweeter and softer and roastier, and they're just delicious.
They are fantastic.
They are. Tip number three, add cauliflower to your mashed potatoes.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've actually mentioned this before, but cauliflower is a perfect disguise for a mashed potato.
Yeah.
You don't even notice a difference. And when you steam cauliflower soft enough, it develops, you know, and then you puree it, it develops the same consistency as mashed potatoes. So they kind of advise to do a half and half. So 50% potatoes, 50% cauliflower, mash them together, puree them, and then go ahead and add whatever you want to them. I would recommend that stock that you made, that nice extra condensed stock, add that instead of a lot of butter or cream, because, you know, I will advise against using a lot of both of those.
Oh, yeah.
But if you use that stock and you puree that in, you're going to have like the most delicious mashed potatoes that, you know, half cauliflower.
I love that kind of meal, and then go sit on a couch and
pass out.
Oh, God, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And then our fourth tip for the day, and I'm going to stop here so we can save a little bit for the next couple of weeks.
I see.
After you wipe your turkey down, make sure that you dry it. Dry the skin really, really good. Okay. Take as much moisture out of it as you can, which will help to crisp the skin without adding a bunch of oil to make it crispy.
Will it give it a nice brown color to it?
Exactly. So when it's moist, that's when it gets a bit soggy. And so oftentimes you add a bunch of oil in order to get that crispiness. But if you just dry the skin, pat it dry with a paper towel before you cook it, that will absorb the moisture so that it gets nice and crispy and brown.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Thanksgiving is just around the corner.
And I'm going home to California in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from yesterday, actually, for an early Thanksgiving. So my family wasn't able to get together on the actual Thanksgiving, extended family. So myself and the kids are going home a couple weeks early, so we can have an early Thanksgiving. So our Thanksgiving's coming up sooner rather than later. That's all right.
Some people get to eat real good. You know what's sad, though? I don't eat as much as I used to.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because of the, everything that went on this year.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah.
But I don't eat a lot of it.
Well, then you'll have more leftovers.
That's true.
You know, there's a silver lining there.
And you know what?
What?
Take those leftovers. Turkey.
Ugh.
Put that along with a little dressing.
Yep.
On a Kaiser roll.
A little cranberry sauce.
Oh, yeah.
A little homemade cranberry sauce.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so
I don't know
good.
About that, but
yes.
I like the gel.
Oh, geez. Well, we're going to be talking about homemade cranberry sauce either next week or the week after.
Okay.
It's on the agenda.
Sounds good. And how can they get all of these recipe ideas?
Well, you can find us on Facebook at Lighthouse Beacon, or you can find us on Twitter at Lighthouse Beacon as well.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Thank you.
Coming up, we will have the boys. The boys are back.
They are.
And we're not talking only the Cubs. We're talking about Brian and Tom Persky, too. They're just around the corner. Stick with us here at the Beacon.
That smells good.
Well, look who came out of his man cave. Game must be over.
Oh, babe, just checking on you. And dinner.
Well, your stomach clock is fast. It's gonna be a while. How about some celery?
Nah, that's rabbit food. There must be something good in here.
Well, why don't you... why don't you...
You okay?
Oh,
honey!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke. Many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
We're back.
We are.
Yeah.
We hi. Did.
Hi.
How are you? You look so nice today. Actually, that sweater,
yes.
I really want it. That's where did Stacy get it?
Disney World.
Stop it.
Nope.
How did she get it from Disney World?
Oh, they had it. She handed them a piece of plastic. They ran it for the thing.
But it's not a Disney sweater.
They had it.
I'm going to have to look at the label and see if it's actually Disney.
Well, here. What does this say here?
It's so nice. It's a gray. What do you do? What do you have up there? No, that can't be Disney. I don't even know what that is, but that's not Disney. I'll look at the label off air.
Oh, pardon me. Okay, yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
But it's this lovely gray, I don't know, like cotton with black elbow patches. I love black leather elbow patches.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep.
So dapper.
Nice blue shirt from what I hear.
Yeah, it is a nice blue shirt.
I figure, what the heck?
You know
it's radio. I got to dress
up. That's right. That's right. You never know who's going to see.
And speaking of dressing up, we can dress these guys up, but still can't think of anywhere.
No.
Tom Persky and Brian Hawkins. I think I hear the music. Do you hear the music?
I do.
It's Tom's Corner, and good morning, everyone. I'm Brian Hawkins, along with Tom Persky. Good morning, Tom.
Brian, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Feeling in good health, and I'm happy to be here to be able to talk technology with you.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you know, we're doing good for fall. We're still see the sunshine, so we're doing okay.
Mm-hmm. And as we've talked about before here on the show, the new word in technology is wearables, and you've got more information about those.
Things to wear. So technology, you know, a few short years ago, we would be like, what are you guys talking about? Something to wear, you know? So it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. And it's really bleeding over into all kinds of technology products for consumers. Of course, we talk about the visually impaired here, and there's been lots of buzz about, I wanted to start with the Orcam, which is a product from Israel. It's a tiny little camera that you wear right on the right on your glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out with a few updates, which I think are kind of cool, actually. So Orcam basically as you hold out your book or your paper, you can either hit the button and it takes a picture of the page and reads it out loud. Or if you have low vision, if you can point to the beginning of the article you want to read, it'll actually start reading right where you point. And not just for a book or a newspaper, but for a sign on the wall, or it'll read something off your computer screen or off your tablet. So think of all the places you see words. This thing will read it to you, which is kind of cool. And it didn't have some of the capabilities that we really wanted, like pause and play, mm-hmm. or fast forward, rewind. It has all those now, which is really cool. So one of the key points, I think, about OrCam and some of these other technologies, like from Humanware, is they are now upgradable, and that's really key. OrCam has some really kind of interesting ones, like if you hold up your wrist, you know, kind of like you're looking at your watch,
right?
It recognizes that you're doing that, and it tells you the time and the date, even if you don't have a watch on. Or if you're reading along and it's reading to you, and you just put your hand out like a stop sign, you know, like stop, it pauses and stops. It recognizes that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we're going to be signaling our wearables, and that's kind of a wild thought.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
We had some IIT students here who were very interested in wearables, and what their idea was to develop a small backpack with straps around each arm, of course, to where they would involve sensors in the straps and sensors in the backpack that would allow a person who is blind to be able to get vibrations at different parts of their body, signaling them that they're getting closer to something on their right or their left.
Mm-hmm.
The intensity of the signal getting stronger as they get closer to things. And so it was really cool. So we were, with our technology department here, we were able to work with them, and they're going to go back to the drawing board and take a lot of our feedback. But Mary Abramson on our staff, and it was just great to just watch, you know, how they were doing that. And we've already had the fellow from Spider Sense, he had a little jacket that did the same thing.
Right.
So I think some of these devices are kind of interesting. There's one on the marketplace that I think would be kind of good. Is called Lumo Lift, L-U-M-O, Lumo Lift. And it sort of helps you with posture. You can put this little sensor on your shirt or your blouse up near your shoulder or your chest. And as you bend over too often or too much, there's a little sensor that buzzes and reminds you to keep your posture straight. And of course, being tall and visually impaired, I'm always leaning over and looking at things closer than I normally, you know, than an oral person would. So I think those kind of devices could really help not only your eyes, but your back and your neck and things like that too. So that's not specifically for the blind, but I think it might be a good one for all of us to consider. And it comes with its own app and a smartphone.
Lumo Lift.
Lumo Lift, right. So I've been talking just briefly about the new Apple Watch, which I received several weeks ago.
Yeah, you're falling in love with that thing, aren't you?
It's little by little. It's really changing my life. It's kind of scary sometimes.
A voice from nowhere.
Because it starts talking to you. Well, I have it on what they call VoiceOver, which is free. It comes with all the Apple products. So I can't see many of the words on the screen. But if I just touch the watch, of course, it'll read what's on the screen. So this morning it said that I should stand up and move around for 1 minute if I wanted to reach my standing goal. And I'm thinking, my standing goal, I don't remember.
Oh, it's giving you one. And you don't even
didn't even
you.
Know it, right. So the research on that, of course, is if you get up like at least 1 minute and walk around every hour, it's so much better than sitting for 2 or 3 hours and then getting up.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I'll live longer. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. I was pretty stressed out recently on one thing, and it just started talking, and I looked down and pushed it, and it said, take a few long, deep breaths. And so Siri or somebody in there was reminding me
right.
that I needed some help with that. So that's, yeah, I mean, that it's kind of interesting, you know, but I think long term, there more and more things are upgradable like that. I thought it was really interesting that if you put an address, let's say you're walking, you're a pedestrian, you're walking somewhere, when you get to the corner where you're supposed to turn, the watch actually has these haptics that are like a strong vibration. And if you're supposed to turn left, it actually started to tell me to turn left with the haptic, or turn right, or it sort of validates what you already know that you're supposed to do, but it really, it helps lots of people, I think. So that these, not to mention, you know, you have Siri, you can ask her what's the time, what's the date, when's the next Cubs game, all these kinds of things. Or just actually the phone rings, you can actually answer it temporarily with your watch if your phone is in the other room. So I don't have to run and then trip over the carpet or whatever to go answer the phone.
Right. So if you have a big phone, that would come in handy.
Yeah. Yeah. So all interesting wearable technology that is only going to be more and more, I think, for the future.
So that thing monitors your heart rate and your...
It does. There's some components in there that I haven't worked with yet
right.
that monitor your sleep patterns even to let you know if you're like, you know, how many times you move during out the night. And there's certain goals. If you want to enter your phone, for instance, if you want to enter calories and things that you eat, it will actually remind you you're getting close to your goal today of reducing your diet by 400 calories, because it knows how much you're walking and it knows what you're eating then. So it actually, it was telling me over the weekend I was doing lots of walking that you're getting, you know, you're really close to your goal of reducing 400 calories, even though I wasn't putting the calories in. So obviously it knows some things that
right.
that are going on, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Now, so, coming up, we have the last roadshow, don't we?
We do. We do. Low Vision Product Show have been very successful. We just were out in Mount Prospect last week in Park Ridge and meeting lots of people who did not know about the Chicago Lighthouse. So that was really, really good. And our Low Vision Center in Glenview is our doctors working there with what's called the low vision evaluation, mm-hmm. getting strong glasses and whatever. Many people did not know about these services. So not only do they learn about technology, but they learn about all of our services, and that's really helpful. So our last one of the year coming up Thursday, November 3rd, is going to be at Friendship Village in Schaumburg. And that's a popular one for us. We've been going there about 5 years, several times a year. And that's from 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. It's free. It's open to the public. Come by. It's 350 West Schaumburg Road in Schaumburg, Friendship Village. And come in the main door and just to the left at the front desk. Just tell them you're here for the Low Vision Product Show. You can meet me and Eric and Luke and Sandra, and we'll be there to just sit and talk with you if this is all new to you. Vision loss can be a very frightening thing, mm-hmm. and we're here to give you hope and give you ideas of how to be more independent and how to live a good quality of life.
All right, and I know we said this is the last show, and I hate to pile on, but for next year, if people are interested in having you come to their location, how would they go about doing that?
So, to come to which location?
You mean? If they want a roadshow at a venue.
Yeah, so they can, probably the best thing to do would be to call our 800 number and just say you want to be on the postcard mailing list. And that way, if you're within 10 miles of any show that we do, you'll get a giant print postcard reminding you of the shows. So the number is 1-800-919-3375. 1-800-919-3375. That connects you with our Tools for Living store right here in Chicago. And we can take your name and add you right right to the mailing list for next year's show. So we go from March all the way through November. And so we take a little time off in the winter because of that four-letter word that we all don't like to talk about.
So we won't, rain? No.
Yeah, rain. Frozen rain. Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. He's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
That's it for The Corner.
Yeah.
And another interesting fact information about new technology and that sort of thing. And a reminder again that two more shows of The Beacon will be here on WCPT. And after that, we're gone.
And we're gone from WCPT. Yeah. We're not gone from everywhere.
If you need to get us on Chris Radio, you can get us on Chris Radio on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. And we're also on ACB Radio for those of you inclined to do so on Tuesdays. And we also have our podcast available, too. So.
And if you're not happy about us leaving CPT, who can they call?
Call the Lighthouse here and ask for... Well, they can give the messages to me or to Brian or to anybody that's associated with Chris.
What's the phone number?
312-666-1331 and just ask for Chris Radio.
There you go. If you want to make your voice heard,
this is the time to do it.
Yep.
Okay, that'll do it for us. Thanks to Sandra Murillo, our associate producer, who helped us with getting the guests and everything lined up for the program. Also, Brett Shishkoff, our intern, who's become a theater critic. He's an informant because
yes.
He tells everyone about the touch tours
right.
And how the different venues handle it. And, of course, there is the always handsome Brian Hawkins. And he'll be back with us next week as well. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Stick around because, you know, facts make the difference, and we've got a bunch of them coming up with the Mighty House Game right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Happy Halloween.
Go Cubs.
Go Cubs.